We're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians tonight. We're going to pick up in the last part of chapter 9. And I've told you this before, but you know chapters and verses were added through the years, right? It was added for convenience and for reference and all that. But sometimes when they separated, they didn't separate the chapter or the verses very well. So we're going to begin reading in chapter 3, verse 9, and it's the last line in verse 9 where it says, "You are God's building." That little phrase goes with verse 10, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right at the end of verse 9, we'll pick up. Once again, stand, please, as in respect for the Word of God. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one of you take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation, on this foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you're the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, for which temple you are. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us through your Spirit tonight. Guide us to all truth through your Word. Give us understanding. And draw us near to you through your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this privilege that you've given us to gather tonight to worship and to study this portion of your word. And Lord, may it sink deep within our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message tonight is "You Are God's Building." Now I want to ask you a question, and I know the answer you're going to give before you give it, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Is church important? Why? Don't answer that. I want you to think about that. We'd all say, yes, church is important. Why is it important? And I want you to keep that in the forefront of your mind as we look at this text tonight. And I want to start at the end of this text, okay? To get where we're going, we've got to start at the very end in verse 16 and 17. I want to read that to you again. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, we all know that when a believer comes to faith, he is indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God comes to live on the inside, right, of the individual. And that's correct according to Scripture, here as well as in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says basically the same thing. But I want to point something out to you. Who's Paul writing to? He's writing to the church at Corinth. And when he says, you, okay, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Those two yous are not singular as speaking to an individual. They're plural, speaking to the group. What group is he talking to? He's talking about the church at Corinth. Now, like I say, I do not challenge the doctrine of the belief that Bible teaches that we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But often we stop right there. We're talking here on a church level. And when he says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit,
He's talking to the church at Corinth. And so that should make us just automatically perk up and take notice. This is the point, you know, it's at this point that we realize how important church is. I mean, yes, we're indwelled, but when we come together as believers, we're all indwelled. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's special when believers come together. Listen, I worshiped for several weeks during the COVID thing, and it was not the same as it is to be here among other believers. You cannot replace that. And you know, when he says you are the temple, any Jew, you know, the Jews knew what the temple was. Oh, it was a holy place. It was something very special. And the one thing a Jew would never intentionally do or allow himself to do is to defile that temple. Why? Because he knew if he did not show the proper respect and honor that temple, it was the temple of God. Therefore, if he were to defile that temple, he would be open to the judgment of God. Paul is applying that concept to the New Testament church. Okay? That how special church is. And we know, you know, we're told how Jesus feels about his church. He loved it so much that he gave his life for it, right? We're told in Ephesians, you know, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we know that God loves the church. But tonight I want us to back up and take notice of how very special the New Testament church is. Not the building. This is a building and it's a really nice building, but it's just a building. It's when we come together that makes church, church. We are the temple of God. And he gives a warning here in verse 17. You know, we're to view this as this meeting of people, if you will, as we are a holy people. We're in a special place. Therefore, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Now, you know, like I say, people have used this idea of the body being the temple and just messed it up. You know? Well, you can't defile, you know, I've heard people talk about exercising and you know, because this is the temple of God. No, you don't get it. You don't get it. I eat right because this is the temple of God. No, you don't get it. Okay? He's not talking about eating. He's not talking about exercising. He's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling within believers and that making us what we are. And if anyone defiles the temple, what he's talking about is the church. If anyone, the subject is the church. We went through the message this morning, you know, about Paul planting, Apollos watering, and so the subject here is the church. Well, when he says if anyone defiles the temple, he's not talking about eating wrong. He's talking about the church as a temple of God. And if you defile God's church, ooh, you are open to the judgment of God. It says God will destroy him or bring him to ruin. So when I ask the question, is church really important? Absolutely. And we need to view the church as God views the church. We are a holy people indwelled by the Spirit of God. And when we come together meeting in this capacity, we are on holy ground, for lack of a better way to say it. I think it's a beautiful thing that Paul is laying out here. Now we go up to what makes the temple the temple. What makes the church the church? We've got to go up to the beginning. Paul said in verse 9, you are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Now, I want you to understand, Paul is not bragging here about, I'm a master builder. Paul is saying, according to the grace that God has given me. So Paul's not taking credit for building churches, right? He's saying God has, according to the grace of God, He has given me the ability to be a wise master builder. And in, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. Now, as you know, the foundation is the most important part of any building, right? It determines the size and the shape, but it especially determines the strength of that structure that you're building. You mess up the foundation, that building's not going to stand, right? So when you understand when Paul says, I've laid the foundation, and he goes on and says, that foundation is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus. When he says that, you go back to Matthew 16 and verse 18 when Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, speaking of himself, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's the foundation. You want a church that can't be infiltrated by the devil, by the gates of hell, if you will. You make sure the foundation of that church, the centerpiece of that church, is Jesus Christ. That will determine the longevity, the strength of that church. This morning we talked about that focus. And we talked about how that it's not about us. You know, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, if it's about me, it can't be about Jesus, right? Doesn't that make sense? If it's about you, it can't be about Jesus. If it's about the youth, it can't be about Jesus. See, you've got to keep the order right. It's always about Jesus. And everything that we build because of and upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, He's the only way to salvation, right? No exceptions. There is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. There's no other foundation that can be laid. That's why we hold Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 so very closely. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. What is that gift? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. It's all about Jesus, right? If it's going to last, it's got to be all about Jesus. But look at verse 12. Now, if anyone builds, and we're going to talk about building on that foundation of Jesus Christ. If anyone builds, let him verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now we want to build a church at Victory, amen? We want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, a growing, thriving, living church of Jesus Christ, right? Okay? But verse 10 says, let us take heed, or let him take heed that builds on. It's a warning. You be careful how you build on that foundation. Why? Because there is no other foundation that you can build on. You're going to be judged based upon how you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul knew he was accountable because he was a minister of the gospel. But he's trying to get this across to the church at Corinth, how that they were also accountable for how they built on the foundation. He says there were two types of building materials that Paul listed. He's number one, gold, silver, and precious stones. Things that last. You know what happens to gold when you hit it with a fire? Gold and silver. It just purifies it. The dregs come to the top and it scrapes. It just gets stronger and better and more pure. When you're building with these building materials, there will be reward. But wood, hay, and stubble, temporary stuff, don't last. You can't build, you can build, right? So what is the difference? What's he talking about here, Brother Doug? I give you this as a summary. You want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. You make sure you're building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, or you're adding to the Lord's church things that have eternal consequences. There are some things that matter, some things that do not matter. So what has eternal consequences? Reaching someone, reaching a lost soul. Right? That's gold. When someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's gold. Making disciples, we called Matthew 28. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Making disciples. That has eternal consequences. You know, so often we get hung up on things that don't really matter. If it doesn't matter, if it will not matter in 10 years, you know what? It does not matter today. If it does not matter when you get to heaven, it doesn't matter today. Another thing that I consider as gold and silver and precious stone, the doctrinal purity of the church. I realize I'm preaching to the choir tonight, all right? But it does matter what a church teaches. It does matter what a church teaches. And we're living in an age where people don't care. As long as kids are entertained, as long as adults are entertained, it's got to be deeper than that. You know? It has to have eternal consequences. That's what, when Jesus said, Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys, or thieves don't break through and steal. This is what he's talking about. Talking about those things that have eternal consequences. Then in verse 13, here's the why. Here's what you got to think of. Think about, you know, if you're a member, a part of Victory Missionary Baptist Church or whatever church, here's what you have to think about. Each one's work will become clear. I like that, don't you? I can fool you and you can fool me, but nobody's going to fool God. Right? Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, then he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. What in the world is he talking about here? Well, first of all, the day will declare it. We're talking about judgment. And for the believer, when's the judgment? It's the judgment seat of Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Listen. I want you to understand this, that judgment seat, and if you probably already know this, but if you don't, I'm going to let you know tonight, right? Judgment seat, the Greek word's bema. That's where athletes went, right? In that Roman government, or Roman culture. Athletes would go before the judgment seat, after they had won. And they would go, before the judgment seat to receive their prize. Now, on occasion, an athlete could appear before that judgment seat and be disqualified.
because he didn't participate in the games according to the rules, right? But here's the thing. As a believer, I want you to understand, your judgment is not going to be a condemnation. Right? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your judgment was sealed as far as heaven goes, right? But you know, in the life of a believer, there's supposed to be more than I'm just going to heaven. You're accountable. And one of these days, you're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. And when you do, He's going to know everything that you've ever done. He's going to know everything that you did, especially how you contributed to the Lord's church. Right? Were you an asset to the Lord's church? Did you build the Lord's church? Were you a faithful member of the Lord's church? Were you involved in the Lord's church? Did you build the Lord's church with the most precious of gold and silver? Or did you just show up every once in a while when it was convenient? When it says it'll be revealed by fire, I want you to understand Hebrews 10, 12, 28 says this, right? It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I said a while ago, I can fool you and you can fool me, you know, because we don't have the ability to look inside. But you understand, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll not fool anybody. He'll know our motives. He'll know what we did, why we did it. He'll know everything. Because He is a consuming fire. He can look through our charade, you know. He can look through our pretending. Fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, it says. And if it's burned up, right, what's going to happen? He will suffer loss. Now here's security to the believer. If you think you got to work for your salvation, this just shoots that a big hole in that ship, right? Look here. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. If my work was wood, hay, and stubble, things that didn't matter, things that were not eternal or have eternal consequences, I would lose those. But He Himself, there in verse 15, He Himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. You'll come through that judgment, and you'll be saved. But listen, can you imagine standing before Jesus Christ, the one who was God in the flesh, came to this earth, and He gave everything for you and for me. He went to Calvary. He was abused. He was crucified. The crown of thorns. He died. He gave it all for you. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, yeah, Lord, I know I should have went to church, but I just didn't think church was important. What do you think the reward's going to be? Can you imagine? I know I should have shared salvation, witnessed to somebody, but you know, I just, Lord, I couldn't work up the nerve. Now you're standing in front of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat. Can you imagine telling Him that? I fear that there are a lot of people, and I do not have the ability to look at the heart and to question their salvation. But I want to tell you what. There's a lot of people in the world today that need to reevaluate their priorities.
And Jesus should not be a priority. He should be the priority. So let us understand. Like I say, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because y'all are the Sunday night crowd. I love you, man, and I appreciate you. Right? But I want to stand before Jesus. And I would sure like to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Am I confident at this point if that's what I'm going to hear? No. Because I've got a long way to go. But I'd like to challenge all of us tonight. Let's make Jesus the priority. The priority. Not a priority. The priority. And let's do things that don't just matter today or tomorrow. Let's do things that make a difference for eternity. Because when it's all said and done and we stand before that judgment seat of Christ as believers, those are the things that will matter. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, I apologize. Because there are times when you're not the priority in my life. Forgive me, Lord, I pray. And help me that I build your church, Lord, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Help us all that, Lord, the building materials that we use be the very best. Gold, silver, precious stones. Things that can test, that will last for all eternity. And now, Lord, in this invitation, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.